This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In 2010, the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art returned 16 pieces of silver to Morgantina, a small town in Sicily. The silver had been stolen from an archaeological dig and then sold illegally to the Met. Carla Antonaccio is a field archaeologist who co-directs the dig at Morgantina. Her work helped Italy secure the return of its lost artifacts. Carla is also the chair of Duke University's Classical Studies Department, and she's my guest today on the program. Welcome, Carla. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell me what goes on at Morgantina. What are you finding there?
Well, Morgantina is an ancient site, an archaeological site, that has been excavated by American archaeologists since 1955, so starting 10 years after the close of the Second World War. And it is a whole ancient city that was abandoned about the time of Christ. And unlike many of the archaeological sites your listeners are familiar with, like Athens, say, or Rome, there's no modern city on top of it. There are a few farms and, you know, a lot of sheep. And otherwise, it's just all there to be discovered. So the site has about 1,000 years of continuous occupation from roughly 1,000 BC until the turn of the era. And we've been working, my predecessors and the team that I currently work with have been there for over 50 years now, gradually exposing different parts of the site and different parts of its history.
How was it discovered? Had everybody known about Morgantina for a long time? Or?
Well, Morgantina is mentioned in some ancient sources, including Thucydides, for example. But its actual exact find spot or location had been lost over the centuries. It was abandoned so completely. But when Princeton began working there, they suspected that this might be Morgantina or one of a number of other lost sites in the area. And within the first few years of excavation, they found numismatic evidence, coins, that they could connect with the site and were able to make the identification. But it was known to the farmers in the area who would plow their fields and come up with artifacts, and at least one Italian archaeologist active in the late 19th and early 20th centuries had been there and had done a little bit of digging and knew that there was a significant ancient site there. So it wasn't completely terra incognita when Princeton arrived.
So tell us about these pieces that the Met had owned and that had to give back. What were those pieces?
Well, Morgantina, the site's final kind of demise occurred at the hands of the Romans in 211 BC, at the end of the Second Punic War. That's one of the wars with Carthage that Rome fought over its history. Sicily became involved in this mess, and Morgantina was besieged by the Romans, and it was taken by the Romans and sacked. And many of the houses were abandoned, and the civic center was given over to other purposes. The walls were destroyed. The Romans had no interest in a fortified, independent settlement in the middle of Sicily. And what people do in the antiquity when they think some disaster may happen, if they can't take everything with them, they hide things. So these 16 silver objects were buried by their owner under the floor of a house that he never returned to. And these objects were left waiting to be found by archaeologists, hopefully, but actually they were found by people we call the clandestini or the tombaroli. These are local people who illegally excavate because there's money in it. So in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of this activity driven by the use of metal detectors, which really transformed amateur archaeology.
So this isn't farmers now just finding pot shards in their field. These are people looking for it, and they've
exactly.
got a tool.
And they've got a tool. And
yeah.
And the metal detectors allow them not to dig to find things, but to run the metal detector. And when they get a reading, then they dig.
Mm.
And it's really been a big problem for archaeologists in a lot of regions, but it has devastated the habitation zones. Previously, tomb robbers did that. They robbed tombs. That's where intact objects were. But metal detectors have made it much easier for people to find very high-value objects in settlement areas. So we had eyewitness and anecdotal evidence that a house had been excavated about a couple of years before this group of objects turned up at the Met. And people described this silver treasure, a tesoro, literally a treasure of silver that matched pretty well what the Met had acquired. And so for the next 20 years, the project became trying to prove that it had come from our site.
And what kind of pieces were they?
These are a very interesting group of objects. They are some of them are a very fancy set of dining and drinking plates,
like
bowls,
goblets. And
yes,
goblets and,
a ladle for serving wine, wine cups, bowls for mixing water and wine together, which is how the Greeks drank it, or how the Romans drank it as well. But also some ritual objects, a small portable altar and a small portable incense carrier. So these were like the very fancy household religion objects of the owner.
How would the Met get a hold of these? I mean, would they know? They certainly know who they're buying from, right?
Well, the Met, you know, buys from dealers, and the dealers buy from middlemen, and the middlemen are the ones who interface with the locals who illegally excavate. And the tragedy is that the local people don't really get – well, the tragedy for them is that they don't really get but a fraction of what these things end up costing. We don't know what the Met paid for these, but typically these kinds of objects now go for millions of dollars if you can – if they can be acquired. So it's a, you know, it's a big racket, and it's a real problem for archaeologists, as I say, all over the world.
So at some point you figured out that what the Met had did indeed come from Morgantina. How do you do that?
Well, we were able to put some pressure on some local people through the Italian courts, through the Sicilian courts. People were deposed and, you know, gave evidence. Basically, they, you know, they turned on the locals. And then we were commissioned in 1997-98 to do a kind of forensic excavation of a house that had already been excavated illegally, looking for evidence that this was indeed the place where these objects had come from. And we found that, in fact, this house had been systematically excavated partly with a bulldozer and room by room and cleared right down to the floors. And what we found was the hole in which these objects had been secreted. And in the bottom of the hole was a 100 lira piece. This was before the euro. 100 lira piece that dated – that actually dated the illegal excavation. Yeah. Somebody had dropped it. So we were able to say that, in fact, you know, this was the house. It was excavated in that time. And this was the place where the silver had come from. In addition, some of the objects had inscriptions on them.
That's what I was going to say. How did you know the silver came from that house?
So in addition to all of this sort of circumstantial evidence, some of the objects had inscriptions on them. And one of them was an owner's name, a person named Eupolemus. Eupolemus means good battle or good war, Polemos. But it's a personal name, and it's not a very common one. And we had an ancient document that had mentioned this person as a landowner in the same field or the adjacent field to which this house belonged. And so we were able to associate the treasure with an ancient name, which we happen to have from an ancient document. And that's part of what sealed this case for the authorities.
Oh, but now you present this evidence to the Met and they say, so what's the reaction? And are they under any responsibility to give it back?
Well, the Met resisted this evidence for a long time. And in fact, because there was no real good paper trail about where this came from, the only other way of kind of tracing it was to observe its appearance and try to compare it with objects in museum collections. And so initially, the suggestion was maybe it came from southern Italy and not from Sicily. Even the date was somewhat disputed because these kinds of things can't be very precisely dated, you know, maybe within 25 or 50 years. But all of this circumstantial evidence, good circumstantial evidence, finally convinced them. And their obligation now is a legal one that the United States is committed through a bilateral agreement with Italy that was concluded I'm trying to remember. The first agreement, I think, was 7 years ago. It's been renewed to honor any claim, any good claim that Italy made to objects that had it could demonstrate had left its territory after 1970. This is an agreed upon international date based on a UNESCO convention that was concluded in 1970 that was attempting to stem this traffic in illegal antiquities and make sure that objects that were illegally exported were returned to their countries of origin. So that agreement is executed by bilateral agreements between the United States and each country involved, and the one with Italy was the basis on which the Italians could make their claim and have it honored by American authorities, by customs in this case.
So when the Met gives it back, they give it to whom? Where does it end up?
It ended up, in this case, in this local museum, the museum that is wholly devoted to this site. And they went back on display last spring to huge acclaim. And that's now the destination for these kinds of objects. Rather than going to a big central museum in Rome or even Palermo in this case, they're going to regional museums back to their context, back to join other objects from the same site where people can understand them in their kind of native context.
Is it meaningful to the people, the local folks there? How meaningful?
It is. It's really meaningful. In addition to these objects, there's a large statue that that came back from the Getty, as well as two smaller statues that came back from an American private collection. So a great number of objects have come back to this small place. The local people are very proud of their past. They were justifiably angry that they had lost these, you know, major treasures. Part of their self-understanding had then been lost. But also, it's in purely economic terms, this is a source of tourism, which is part of what makes the local economy go. And this is now the fourth most visited museum in Sicily. In 1 month, the first month that these things were back on display, they had more visitors than they got in a typical year prior to that.
Carla,
so it's had a huge impact.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for your interest, Frank. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Carla Antonaccio is a field archaeologist, co-directs the Morgantina Dig. She is Duke's Classical Studies Department Chair. You can visit classicalstudies.duke.edu for more information. This is The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.